Breakfast is on us. 102.9 Fresh FM.
Love it. They don't love it.
It's Jack Harlow on Namibia's Art and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us this morning. We appreciate it. We also checked out Little Cash and Fireboy DML with Love Like This. And in case you just joined us, how is it possible you're only joining us? Because we had Tems on your radio. We had Ari Star on your radio. As a matter of fact, we had the whole Juanita Moss crew, Master KG and that whole squad on your radio. But it's fine. You just in time for a conversation about AI this morning. You know, this morning we've been asking, can AI, as things stand right now, replace you at work, at your place of work, your primary source of income, your car 8 to 5 iki? Is that the reality that you're sitting with? You know, you need to self-introspect and you need to look at it, okay? Because this thing is real. It's here. There's no... It's real, pun intended. But it's here, okay? We've got the Managing Director, the MD of New Creation Solutions, as well as an Artificial Intelligence Specialist, Abuti Stanton, Seabritz in studio. Stanton, good morning. How are you doing, my good sir?
Very well, very well. Thank you very much, NSK, for that lovely introduction.
My man. Good to have you here. You know, good to have you here. AI is a conversation that we've been wanting to talk about on Fresh Breakfast, you know, because Shaquan and I, we are both babies when it comes to this thing. You know, I, for one, I always surprise myself to be this, oh, geeky, and, you know, I want to know things. But this one, I need time. So, okay. And so with you, it's going to be a great introduction into this conversation.
You see, the funny thing is, everyone always thinks that AI only came last year with ChatGPT doing that big hype thing.
Yeah.
But everyone has actually been using AI for a very long time. It's just people have not noticed.
What is a very long time? What do you mean? Like Google or what?
No, for example, like Siri, right?
Mm.
Your voice assistant on your phone.
Yeah.
That's AI.
Uh-huh.
Even like predictive text autocorrect, that's AI. Like even if you're yangoing, right?
Yeah.
You want to get from point A to point B, it's AI that actually works out what is the fastest route for you to get there. Even if you have, say for example, you flash with cash, you have your Raptor, you're going off-roading, lane assist, park assist, all those things, those are AI. It uses computer vision to input into your vehicles, make sure that you don't veer off the road. So AI has been part of our lives for a very, very long time.
Oh. I mean, I thought it was just, you know, just smart computing, you know.
Yeah, no, so.
Didn't necessarily look at it as AI, you know.
Yeah, so now the only thing that's happened now is that we now currently have an interface.
Like, yeah.
Where every users can actually interface and interact with AI models.
Hmm.
Where you can actually, on the fly, prompt it, get some response out. But like I said, AI has been part of our lives for a very long time. So. My thing is, people should not really fear AI, because as long as you know, look, you've been around this thing for a while. It's just, you just need to get used to a new mode or a new way of doing things.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that human involvement. How do we balance AI's potential with the need for human involvement in decision making?
So there's now this big thing, right? And I'm a firm advocate for it, is to have human in the loop. So that's the term that we use.
Human in the loop. Okay.
Human in the loop. Meaning that for everything that you do AI with, there has to be human interaction, right? Human has to have the final oversight. So it's just a question about how far or when do we actually want to involve humans and what do we actually want to give off to the AI? Like, for example, what decision making? So the concept really is very simple. If it's mundane things, things that really don't affect human beings as much, like say, for example, watching Netflix or Showmax, right? Then Showmax recommends you the next series to binge watch.
That's AI. Okay,
it analyzes your trends of what you like, what you don't like, and then it starts recommending shows for you to watch.
Hence the need to have a specific account that's tailored to you.
Yes, that's tailored to you, and that's why you should always upvote, downvote, you know, like so that they actually can work out the algorithm to your personalized needs. So that is something that really doesn't affect anybody else except your entertainment, right?
Yeah.
So in that regard, there's not really much need for human oversight. But now if you take it on the other side of the coin and you say, okay, we want to use AI now. For example, last week, Ministry of Health, they had this AI x-ray for TB, right? So now that affects human lives, like on a real existential level.
Yeah.
So you would want to incorporate actual doctors to actually verify the results that AI then give you. Mm-hmm. So you don't just leave that up to AI and say, okay, you were diagnosed, this is the treatment, go for it, my son. Like, no, you yeah. actually want to say, look, the doctor needs to have the final say, because AI could miss something, like, for example, in your prescription, in your family history, that you might not have access to just looking at an x-ray.
Yeah.
So it just depends on how far on how much AI would actually affect human life,
yeah,
and our well-being. And then if that increases, then the need for oversight also then should increase proportionately.
Yeah. Let me be a nice this conversation, right? Especially in terms of government.
Yes.
Do we need a policy framework for AI? And do we have one?
Yes, we do have. Okay, it's one in process.
Mm.
So beginning in February, they actually started with the AI strategy, the national AI strategy.
Which ministry? Ministry of Information or what?
In CRST with in conjunction with UNESCO,
okay.
with the Ministry of ICT. Yes.
Okay, so ICT,
busy.
Yeah.
Yes, so they are busy. Also trying to establish the National AI Council as well as the National AI Institute.
Yeah.
So those are things that still need to come up, right? We're also busy with the Data Protection Act that's also since last year has been being lobbied. So all these things still have to be put in place, but we are on the right track. We yeah. are actually getting things in place.
What will a policy look like then? What would a policy say? What ideally, what would government want to, protect its citizens against okay. AI or the potential exploitation thereof?
So what government would really want to do, right, is, and this is the topic that everyone is talking about,
yeah.
is like, will AI take my job? So how do you value human employment, right? How do you value human output as opposed to AI? So what you want to do is also you want to strike a balance to say, okay, fine, we need to see AI as a tool to help us become more efficient.
Mm.
It shouldn't be a tool that actually replaces us. So what we need then to look at is, okay, what are the ethical considerations? How does this actually affect us if we are working with it?
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be a case of, all right, because some businesses are savvy, right? So they'll say, okay, this thing is a lot more efficient than the human being because it can process a lot more information and
100%.
A lot more redundant tasks, right? Competitive tasks. So someone could say, you can look at it black and white and say, okay, if I had 10 employees to do this, say, sorting of emails, for example, task. Now with AI, I just need one. So does
yeah.
that mean I now fire 9 people?
Hmm.
Or do you see it in this way as, okay, now that AI can do the job of 10, it frees up my other 9 employees to do other tasks.
Ah, man, you know, this is why I needed to, this is why I needed a Stanton in my life. That's a smart way of looking at it.
You see, it's all about perspective.
That's a smart way of looking at it.
Because then at the end of the day, what happens is you can then also become more productive at your work. Because, I mean, nobody likes to sit and take the first 2 hours of the morning going through emails, right? So you can use AI to be effective, like streamline, summarize your emails for you.
Mm.
So then it frees up more time for you to actually do what you need to do, what you actually employed it to do.
Because, I mean, if you look at a workspace, man, as you know, a nice streamlined workspace, you will find that everybody, whether from CEO right down to, you know, your domestic engineer, everybody has that extra function that they do that has nothing to do with their job
exactly.
description. You
exactly.
know what I mean? So perhaps that's also where AI can come in, right?
That's where AI can come in. Because, yeah. I mean, we can apply it from a very high level all the way to down low level. Like, AI can really change the way we do things.
Hmm.
My only concern is that because we become so efficient, because I listened to you in this morning and you said the world is getting smarter. Mm. Are we being replaced?
Mm.
So my juxtaposition to that is I don't really see the world is getting smarter. I think the world is getting more efficient.
Okay, efficient. That's the key word here.
Yes.
Efficiency.
But now the problem with that is if we become more efficient, then we become almost more like slaves.
Mm.
You know, because what happens is if you can now, if your output increases, like for example, say given day, everything else, say you operate at 100% efficiency, right? You're the ultimate employee. Now with AI, you now do 120%. So it's easy for a boss or someone who employs you to see, okay, no, the efficiency is and the production is now increased. So therefore, I can push them a bit harder, a bit longer.
I see.
AI is now that tool that now, you know, propels them.
Yeah.
You know, like that Red Bull can.
Yeah.
But as with Red Bull, you're going to crash sooner or later. So I just think we need to have policies in place to say, look, if we're using AI, there should be limits, like how long, how often, what data we are actually exposing to our AI models, sensitive information,
yeah.
whether you're working in organizations, large organizations. We should also look at things like, once again, human-in-the-loop systems,
yeah,
you know, so that
yeah.
we never replace the human being
yeah.
when it comes to AI.
I mean, I'm even just thinking also now, there's now this with AI, there's also now a question mark, just with the slavery remark that you made, well contextualized, there's now also question marks around, you know, lifestyle, because, you know, yeah. of late we, you know, the workplace, we are trying to balance the two.
Yes.
Can't just be all work, and then you have, you know, employees that are all, you know, busted up and mental yeah. is not right, you know, so you try and balance. So there's also a question mark around that. That's good. Let's talk about privacy, right? Yeah. As AI collects and processes, you know, this vast amount of data, how can we ensure privacy is protected and still benefit from AI enhancements?
Okay, so first and foremost, like, everyone believes that government should take the lead in this thing, right?
Mm.
With data protection.
Yeah.
So everyone is pushing, you know, let's come down from a legal framework, strategies, policies, you know, because I know with the AI strategy, some of the context or some of the elements that they have is transparency, inclusivity, you know, making sure that there's no bias within the data.
Yeah.
Right. But I believe it is, we all should actually play a part in this, because if you go to, say, ChatGPT, right, if you create an account, the first thing it asks you is, are you okay with us using your data to further train our models or use it for whatever purpose, right?
Uh-huh.
So now everyone, because we're so used to just ticking the terms and conditions text box, right?
Yeah.
Nobody reads it, right?
Yeah, no one. I'll be the first to admit. Yeah.
So now everyone just ticks because we want this thing,
yeah.
right? But I think where we need to come in is we actually should look at the policies, see what you're comfortable with sharing. And if you're not, you should then make the decision, is this thing worth giving up my personal information, this thing that I want to use? Or do I just say, look, for now, I'm going to not use it until such a time as the policies actually improve. Because what we...
Like the national framework.
The national framework.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
also what we believe is if we have enough pushback, right, organizations will have to be forced to say, look, what are the complaints that we have in terms of collecting data? So people don't really mind sharing the information with the service provider. They have a problem when the service provider actually now starts sharing the information to third parties.
Yes, yes. With the same story with the Facebook and the ads and
So if we
selling off the data,
So if we then say terms and conditions should include to say, look, are you comfortable with us using your data? Tick yes or no. Are you comfortable with us sharing your data to third parties? Then you can say no. But then you still have access to those kind of things. So if we collectively just say, look, these things we're not comfortable with, policymakers, organizations, they'll have to adapt. Because, I mean, if there's no demand for your product, then you have to change.
Yeah.
So...
But the question also now, Stanton, is just yesterday, okay, great, we've got a very, you know, we've got a new team, we've got a robust team, you know, Honorable Emma, she's on that thing. But how long is it going to take before we get to that point of, okay, cool, it's safe to accept everything and not read?
No, so as with anything, right?
Yeah.
As with anything, we are learning as we are going.
Right? Okay.
Because
okay.
this is new to the entire world. It's not just new to us as Namibians. So this is new to the entire world, and we need to actually adapt with it as best as possible. The only thing I can tell people is, look, it's not Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Right? Yeah, like, yeah.
This is really not Skynet.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
As with anything, like, our minds tend to, and our imaginations tend to take things to the far extremes. But once we're in a situation, we can actually look into the future and say, look, we can prevent these kind of things from happening if we're just smart about how we're going about it. So even as we're learning, as we're adapting, as we're going along, I believe we can actually do it, because there's one beautiful... actually theme in Terminator 2 Judgment Day, right? That I think people always overlook. Everyone always sees Skynet, AI taking, killing us all, you know. But there's a beautiful symbiotic relationship with John Connor and the Terminator.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
The human couldn't survive without the AI.
Yeah.
The AI was trying to defend
the
human. Otherwise, he also doesn't get created in the future.
So,
and that's the way we need to get to. We need to strike that balance between how can we actually incorporate AI in our everyday lives as human beings, right? Without losing our humanity.
Speaking of everyday involvement here, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, it's been around for some time now, but we're moving into a different era now. Okay, now it's about interface.
Yeah.
So low-end question and a high-end question. Low-end question is, if I am new at this, I'm NSK, I'm a bit hardcopper, I'm old school, but, you know, I need to try this thing out because, I mean, snap, you know, before my daughter knows more about this than me, I need to understand this thing. recommend two applications, two apps that I should have on my phone that are AI inspired.
All right, so two apps quite similar. One is Perplexity.
Perplexity. Okay.
It's like Google on steroids.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, I need that.
So basically, it's a search engine, but AI powered. So your searching and what you get back is a lot better than with Google. Because, look, Google is trying with Gemini, even incorporating in its search engine itself. But Perplexity...
There's shortcomings there. Trust me. Yeah.
Perplexity is the one for you if you like searching, like if just... quick information. Yes.
Okay, so it's Perplexity?
Then I would say the second one, it's basically up to what your personal preference would be. If you like video generations, images and stuff, I would say to start with the open AI stuff like ChatGPT, DALL-E, you know, Sora for video. It's the easiest introduction to anything. The interfaces are quite easy to use. Also, they're at the cutting edge of AI development at the moment in time. So, yes, it's the one no one actually wants to recommend because, look, it's been bombarding us left, right, and center. But the fact of the matter is the reason why it is bombarding us is because it's actually the best at the moment.
High-end question. I mean, we are lackers of things on Fresh FM. Maybe I want to, like, connect. I want to have, like, a situation where AI opens my curtains, you know, when I wake up. Or I want, you know, the TV to talk to me. I don't know, it's a smart TV, but, like, maybe it's AI-inspired. And I want, you know, instead of the usual alarm, you know, maybe it's harmonization from the Roman Empire from the 17th century. Something.
And you know, we're going there. Right? we are definitely going there.
So can new creation solutions offer that? Do you guys have that where you can help us out with that?
We can build that for you if you want it. We can build it for you because it's simply AI mixed with home automation. Right? So home automation, we know, has been around also for a very long time.
Yeah.
The only issue now with home automation is we used hard-coded rules, right, for us to actually switch on lights, do things, check the temperature, do this. But with AI, you start taking that hard-coded algorithms out of the equation and say, look, start thinking for yourself, right, the system now. So basically, if it didn't incorporate, say, for example, with your weather app, and you say, okay, it's going to be raining, you're going to be at work because it knows your schedule, right? So 10 minutes before you come home, you switch on the AC, nice, cozy, 22 degrees.
That's what I'm talking about.
These are things that we can do. And that is where life is going to go. I believe in the next maybe 5-7 years, that's where we'll be.
All right. Well, Stanton, I will invite you over to my house very, very soon. So that we can put a couple of things in place.
We can put many things in place.
Many things, maybe, even for that matter. Stanton, thank you so much for this conversation, my good sir. I don't think this will be the last bit. So maybe something might happen today, tomorrow. We never know. And we'll probably need your expertise. But thank you so much for making time for us.
It is a pleasure being here.
Does it?
But as I said, I would like to send a shout out.
Yes, please.
See, because we're from the 90s, right?
The old school 90s radio, bro.
90s were the peak of humanity. So but what we used to do, right, is we called in the radio station and then we used to request. You know, it's not like Facebook and things nowadays.
Just WhatsApp, a simple WhatsApp text, you know, then we get it, we see it.
Landline. So I would like to send out a request to my sister. Just like to tell her, stay cool but don't freeze.
Stay cool but don't freeze.
to my wife, I know you're hot but don't overheat. And then the song I would like is by an artist known as Sam Riviera, and the song is called You.
Okay, we'll check it out. Stick around, don't go anywhere. But don't overeat. 8:50, don't go anywhere. We've got the Sam song coming up and so much more.
Breakfast is on us. 102.9 Fresh FM. Fresh FM.